Congress is closer to cybersecurity legislation that tries to protect infrastructure from attacks. But Congress and all the other organizations that make policy that affects the Internet may be asking the wrong questions. Jay Healy's director of the Cyber Statecraft Initiative at the Atlantic Council, and he writes in the National Interest magazine, and Jay, that's kind of what I took away from reading between the lines in your piece, that we're asking all the wrong questions about cybersecurity and addressing the wrong policy issues. Did I get that right, Jay?
Yes, that's certainly right. And happy Friday.
Same to you. And what are the things that we're not paying attention to that we should be looking at?
What I'm trying to get across in the piece is that a lot of us are looking at the smaller issues. The Internet is probably the most innovative technology that's sprung from human minds in the last 500 or 600 years, since Gutenberg came up with the printing press. And we're not treating it as this most transformative thing in half a millennia. We're treating it as a place where it's okay to hack, where it's okay to do spying and attacks. And I'm concerned that we might not be treating it in a sustainable manner, that our kids and their kids and their kids might not have an Internet that's as cool, as awesome as the one that we have today.
What are the structural issues that are causing, that you think are causing people to look at the Internet in this way and that are endangering it in the way that you're envisioning and what you're writing, Jay?
Well, first, we never engineered it to be secure. We engineered it to be free and open. We never engineered it with trust in mind. And now everybody is taking advantage of that. So, of course, we can talk about that as a privacy issue, that people can read our mail, that NSA can read our mail, that hackers can do this, that, or the other. And that's, of course, true. But one of the things that I'm trying to call attention to is maybe there's a tipping point. Maybe there's a tipping point where there's too many predators and not enough prey, and we end up going past a point of no return. And I've certainly been thinking about that of Iraq this week, right? A week ago in Iraq, they were kind of getting by. It was insecure, but it was limping along. Couple of days, and now it looks unsalvageable. Why can't that happen to the Internet? So we have to start thinking of a longer-term game here.
You write about the transformative nature of the Internet, as you did, as you mentioned, Gutenberg a moment ago. And then you write, and yet it's not being used in a sustainable manner. When it's open to the degree that it's open and as it was intended to be, how does anybody ever determine or enforce sustainability?
Right. And first, sustainability, we're not saying being green. We're not saying, not use a lot of power when you're doing it or other environmental issues.
The term that I took away from that, as you used it, was more self-perpetuation than the kinds of things that you're talking about. Is that correct, Jay?
Yes.
Okay.
And so how can we make sure that the Internet is going to be as awesome in 5 years, in 50 years, in 250 years? I mean, we need to be thinking about that for the environment. And that means how can we get the defenders to have the advantage rather than the attackers? Now the attackers have the advantage. They get to attack anywhere they want. We have to defend everywhere. So I'm really curious in what we can do to turn this around. What technologies, what practice can we do at enough scale so that we can give the defenders the high ground, the advantage?
You write, every time we try to rebuild the Internet to be as safe and secure as it used to be, there is and will be some new threat to drag it down into chaos with devastating consequences to America's IT-dependent economy and those of us who have come to love our online lives. I haven't actually heard this, but I hear in my mind the response to that statement being, that doesn't mean we shouldn't try, vis-a-vis rebuilding the Internet and continuing to try to make it as safe and secure as it used to be.
Oh, well, of course. But a lot of what we're doing, for example, information sharing legislation, it's an important step, of course. But is it really going to give defenders the advantage for the United States or for the Internet as a whole? Well, no, it's going to help. But we've made it as if it's the whole answer. And my concern is that now we complain that the Internet is a Wild West. But Wild West isn't the worst thing in the world. And I think if we're not careful, we're going to tip from being Wild West into Somalia. this place where there's not just rules, but every time we try and build a secure internet, there's some other group, whether it's hackers, whether some nation state, whether whomever, that comes by and tries to bring it down for the rest of us. And we can never get ourselves back in to that stable state that we have today.
Jason Healy's director of the Cyber Statecraft Initiative at the Atlantic Council and writing in the National Interest. And you brought it back where exactly to where I wanted to go next, Jay, and that is, so how do we turn the situations that we're in and the challenges that we face today into policy that makes sense, as you said, not just today and not just short term, but in 25 and 50 and 250 years?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that we can do. And certainly for the federal government, we can start thinking about things that are going to scale. We don't have to respond to every new hacking incident. DHS, Commerce, DOD don't have the kinds of resources to respond to every one. So we need to think at what is really going to scale. So that's going to be important, not just technologies, but how can we convince many companies all at the same time. Also trying to look at bigger picture when it's coming to our own military and espionage. I'm concerned that our longer-term national security interests are going to be served more by having a stable and secure internet, by using sustainable practices of not going too far in that. And I'm concerned that that pendulum has swung too far.
You said a moment ago we don't have to respond to every hacking incident regarding policy. I agree with you from a cultural or a technological perspective, but from a political perspective, I can think of 535 people who don't agree with that and who think that they do have to respond to every
right.
hacking incident in one way, shape, or form.
Certainly. And so I think it's going to take a new approach to start to get us to being able to think at scale, to be thinking about things like a tipping point, things like cyber shocks that might happen. And I continue to advocate for a private sector-centric approach. The government still feels that they're going to be the ones to solve this, that if we could only share more information with the Department of Homeland Security or with Congress, that somehow we're going to break the back of this problem. And I just don't think that that's realistic. It's the private sector that's getting attacked. It's the main companies like the telecommunications companies, the cybersecurity companies, that have the real tools to be able to get us into working and solving this at scale. So I think a private sector centric approach that treats them as the supported command rather than the supporting command is probably going to be the only way that we're going to get sufficient scale.
To get to that scale, what does that involve from a policy perspective? Does that involve an understanding? Does that involve legislation at the congressional level? Does that understand some body of people and governments from around the world cooperating in some way or what? Because we founded the internet and we created it, but we certainly don't own it anymore.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's going to be a range of things that we can do. If we have a strategy that says we're going to get through this with the private sector, that's going to take a couple of things. There's some smart legislation that can happen so that we can have the right kind of clearinghouse for malicious software signatures and the rest. There's some strategy that the executive branch can do by itself for additional declassification of information, of not classifying a lot of information to begin with, of really seeing what kinds of support that they can provide. I think targeted federal grants could be a big help for a small amount of money, like $10 million, to some of these non-state groups that are making a tremendous difference in actually sharing information and actually defending against the attacks that we're seeing. Instead of taking $10 million and just giving it to DHS or up to Fort Meade, small targeted grants of tens of thousands of dollars at a time could make a big, big difference.